33. And Pastor Jeremy, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Father, we thank you for this opportunity once again to open the Word. Lord, we just look to you and just wait on the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and to just open our eyes and our ears to what you have for us. And just give words to say to Pastor, and Lord, just prepare our hearts for this week. We just once again do ask you to rebuke the devil and his angels. And Lord, if there be some distraction in our hearts and our minds right now, you just take it away. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Isaiah 33 and verse 22. Isaiah 33, 22. For the Lord is our what?
Judge.
The Lord is our what?
Lawgiver.
The Lord is our what? King. He will save us. A call to prayer. Just our nation is in such a mess right now. This verse right here, well, I'll read it to you here, what it says. This comes from the storyofliberty.homestead.com. It says, at the Constitutional Convention of 1787, James Madison proposed the plan to divide the central government into three branches. He discovered this model of government from the perfect governor, as he read in the Bible, Isaiah 33, 22. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. This is the birth of the branches of government. James Madison was a signer of the Constitution, author of the Federalist Papers, framer of the Bill of Rights, Secretary of State, and fourth President of the United States of America. So the three branches of our government, we have the judicial. It says the Lord is our judge. This is what he saw here. The Lord is our judge, so we need a judicial branch. The Lord is our lawgiver, so we need a legislative branch to enact laws. The Lord is our king, so we need a branch of government, a leader in there. So the judicial branch was to enforce the law. The legislative branch was to enact the laws. The king or president was enacted or was chosen to lead the country. So, and of course, they, after just their bout with England, they didn't want to call their leader a king. So our leader became our president. So we need a call to prayer because all three of these branches of our government are failing today, and it's because individuals are failing to be saved and to serve the Lord. So we need to appeal to our judge, to our lawgiver, and to our king. And I don't mean a letter-writing campaign, although I'm not against writing letters to our government officials. I'm not against that. I have done so many times. But I mean, tonight I'm focusing on not a letter-writing campaign, but a prayer campaign to our true judge, lawgiver, and king. So number one, if you're taking notes, we need to pray to the judge of all the earth, and that is God. Look at Genesis 18. Genesis 18. We find Abraham doing this because judgment was about to fall on Sodom, and Abraham had his nephew there, and so he pled to the Lord on behalf of him and the city. Genesis 18:20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not who?
Judge.
The judge of all the earth do right? I just heard recently that one of our Supreme Court justices signed a $2 million deal to write a book And I'm thinking, is there no conflict of interest there? Something's wrong. So we need to pray to the judge of all the earth. God told Abraham that the sin of Sodom was very grievous and very great, very bad. And so it's time for us to earnestly plead for our judicial system. I'd like to cover these three areas, and as we cover each area, I'd like to choose someone just to pray for that branch of our government. We're in a mess, a real mess. The Supreme Court has been in a mess at least since 1973 when they legalized abortion. I looked it up, and you probably know it anyway, but it was 1973. It was January of 1973. And this is what they ruled in that case. Interestingly, both abortion and sodomy, both of those instances came out of court cases in Texas, which went all the way to the Supreme Court. But this is what they ruled. During the first trimester of expectancy, governments cannot prohibit abortions at all during the first trimester. During the second trimester, they ruled that governments could require reasonable health regulations. That's the second trimester. During the third trimester, they ruled that abortions could be prohibited entirely, so long as the laws contained exceptions for cases when they are necessary to save the life or health of the mother. So in 1973, that's what the Supreme Court ruled, totally against God in that ruling. But in 1992, they revisited Roe versus Wade. And in 1992, they modified the legal rulings in that case. They reaffirmed Roe's holding that a woman's right to choose to have an abortion is constitutionally protected. How can they do that? That's not what the Constitution says. But they abandoned the trimester framework in favor of a standard based on fetal viability, they called it. They overruled Roe's requirement that government regulations on abortion could be subjected to the strict scrutiny standard. Now, what is fetal viability? Well, it's the ability for the baby to survive outside of the womb. And, of course, they never refer to the baby as the baby. It's always fetal tissue or something like that. So their whole thing was, okay, now we're switching from the three trimester to now we're just saying, okay, fetal viability. Could the baby survive outside the womb? If it couldn't, kill it. That was their judgment. What a hypocritical ruling. So what we're saying is anyone that can't survive, can't live without someone's help, that's okay to kill them. Well, I guess it'd be okay to kill us men, right, then? How many of us men could survive on our own, cook our own meals? I won't ask you to raise your hands. How many of you men know how to boil water? How many men have done a load of laundry in a decade? How many men know how to run the washing machine at all? How much soap would you put in there? One quart? Will that do it? It's good enough for the car, isn't it? Could men survive? I was just told that children are now getting impetigo because they're wearing their mask, the same mask, over and over and over and over. What would happen to men without their wives? How long would they wear their clothes without washing them? We wouldn't want to even suppose, we wouldn't want to even guess how long that might happen. Could a man survive? Is a man really viable on his own? Could he really survive? I don't know. But what does that do? What about the handicap? Well, you know what that means. In their mind, they don't care about him. What about the elderly who cannot any longer live and take care of themselves. Well, that tells you what the Supreme Court, if the whole issue rests on viability, the ability to survive with no one else's help, well, that would cut out a huge chunk of our population, wouldn't it? And that would cut out us many times. So, do you see what I mean by the Supreme Court needs help? That's totally corrupt. What does God think about babies? Well, Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all what?
My members
were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was what?
None of them.
Well, what is God's book in regard here? It's a blueprint. It's the blueprint for our lives. He says in there, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. You know, it used to be you could build a house without a blueprint. But now they want to see the blueprint. If you want a building permit, you've got to show the blueprint to the building inspector, and he has to look it over and approve it. You can't do it. Well, you know what? Who's got the blueprint to each individual life? God, the creator, the maker, he's got the blueprint. And just because the Supreme Court can't see the blueprint for every person's life does not mean that is not a person. God has the blueprint. He has it written in his book, all of my members. You know, when you go to a house and it's just been roughed in, and you say, I'm going to run over to the house and look at it. So you walk in there and there's just the stud walls and there's no drywall, there's no wiring, there's no heating yet, and you can see through the whole house. Does that mean it's not a house because it's not finished? No. You correctly said, I'm going to run over and see the house. It's a house. It's still in building. It's in the continuing stage. But it's a house, and so is a baby. It's not just a blob of tissue. It's a living being. Something like 14 days, they can detect a heartbeat. That's only when they can detect it. Life begins at conception. So we see that our Supreme Court needs a lot of prayer. And not just the Supreme Court, but judges all the way down. I mean, that's why these cases finally get to the Supreme Court, because lower judges don't make the right decisions. They don't make the right judgment here. So I'd like to just pause at this point and pray for America's judges. We need godly judges. Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer for all of our judges in America?
our judges. You are in charge, and Father, we ask that you would work now in our country. Father, please send a revival to our land. Please send a great awakening, Father, all across our country tonight. So it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You know, I guess we're all guilty of complaining a lot about the way things are, but there's only one person that can change it, and that's God. And I just pray the Lord would help us to put more prayer into these three branches of government. Well, back in Isaiah chapter 33, Isaiah 33, and verse 22 once again. Isaiah 33:22, for the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our what?
Lawgiver.
Our lawgiver. That's supposed to be the job of the House of Representatives and the Senate, is to enact laws. And of course, we didn't even get into it with the judges and the Supreme Court. Now they are legislating off the bench. They are, instead of just enforcing the law, they are writing the law as they see fit, and that's not their job. But it is the job of the Senate and the House to write laws. And so based upon this scripture here was one of the reasons why there's that branch in our government, the branch that is supposed to make the laws. And sadly, because people are not saved, they're making laws to fit their own whims. But let's go look at Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29, verse 21. Isaiah 29, verse 21. The Bible says that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth and negate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. So that make a man, verse 21 there, that make a man an offender for a word. You know, right now, what's going on in Washington on a very fast track is a very ungodly agenda. And I'm not talking tonight about political parties. I'm talking about Satan and his agenda. There's a lot of talk about who's in control of all what's going on. I'll tell you who's in control. It's their daddy. Hold your place here, if you would. Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. There's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of speculation about people that are plotting all of this. And no doubt Satan is using some of them. I could name some names tonight of people that are very wealthy that are using their money to promote and push these issues. But John 8:44 says, Jesus was speaking to these unsaved people and said, ye are of your father, who?
The devil.
The devil. And the what? The lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So, no, I don't think there's any one human person that's running this whole show, although there are no doubt are people very high in this world that are part of it and being used of Satan. But it's the devil. It's the devil orchestrating, getting ready for his man of sin that he's going to use, the Antichrist. And in verse 21, that make a, back in Isaiah 29:21, that make a man an offender for a word. You know, on the fast track that things are going right now, the way they are making laws like well, let's go to Isaiah chapter 5. When make a man an offender for a word, how much longer are we going to have religious freedom? You know, they've already toyed around with the idea of taxing churches. Well, once you start taxing churches, you are controlling churches. And even now, with churches being tax exempt, well, if the government is saying, we allow you to be tax exempt, then even to a certain degree, they're saying, but if you don't do what we think you should be doing as a church, then we'll yank that tax exempt status from you. But there has been talk in recent years, especially as the government runs out of money more, about taxing churches. So that's not only a federal tax on churches, but like our township. The township does not tax this property, and they could very easily change and do it. What would happen to churches that have millions and millions of dollars worth of buildings and property? Well, that'd be a very hefty tax. The Bible says here in Isaiah 5:20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." What do they do with abortion? What do they call themselves? Pro what? Choice. Pro-choice. That sounds like liberty, doesn't it? Pro-choice. The only problem is it's pro-murder is what it is. It's like Hitler. Pro-murder. You know, they just recently found out that Margaret Sanger, the what is considered the mother of the abortion movement, was indeed a racist. They like to call everyone racist today. But she really was racist against black people. And you know what? They're just finally figuring that out. But you know what? The pro-life crowd knew that all along, but they were not willing to admit it until right now it's convenient. But so they call themselves pro-choice. The sodomite crowd goes and says, "What's wrong with you? If a person, why are you mad because a person has their choice of who they want to love?" Well, God says we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're to love all people. But we're not talking about an intimate, immoral love. That is different. We're to love God supremely, and he says that is against nature. So, this is what we're seeing right now, verse 20. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." They're totally changing it around. And you have to really be on your toes to keep ahead of them what they're doing. So what are we doing in the legislative branch right now? They're trying to quickly pass laws. They're trying to stack the Supreme Court with unsaved, ungodly justices who will be in favor of abortion. And Brother Corey this morning was teaching us about in the land of Canaan and Baal worship, idol worship. Well, one of the biggest idols in America is abortion. That's one of the biggest idols. Because there are people in this country who will vote for anyone, no matter how bad of a leader they are, as long as they stand for abortion. Because abortion is their God. They want to live an immoral lifestyle, and living that way, they do not want the responsibility of children that might be conceived because of that lifestyle. So to them, the idol of all idols is abortion. You cannot take that away from me, because if you take that away from me, my immorality might bring the responsibility of children, and I don't want that responsibility. And so there are many people in our country that is the ultimate thing. And so that is their fear right now. Even though, honestly, I don't think they really have anything to fear. From what I've seen of these latest Supreme Court picks, they're already not voting the right way on many things. And as I said, one of them signing a $2 million book deal, what is this all about? What is it all about? I'm not so sure at all that if the abortion matter came up right now, that it would be voted down. In fact, I highly doubt it, that it would be outlawed at this point. I would sure be happy if it came up and I was surprised and they did outlaw it. But I don't think that's going to happen. But our legislators are trying to frantically change the laws to add enough positions to the Supreme Court to make sure that their almighty idol, abortion, stands steadfast. They are petrified that that idol is going to fall. Notice in 1 Timothy 1, verse 7. The Bible says, desiring to be teachers of the law, and of course here we're talking about the Bible, not just the laws of America, but I want you to notice the principle here. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. I wonder how many of our leaders in our legislative branch has ever read through the Constitution. I wonder. Because a lot of them do not seem to stand on what it says at all. And yet they take an oath to defend the Constitution. Verse 8, very interesting verse. It says, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. If you go back to verse 7 for a moment, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. You know, when you vote for a bill, or when they vote for a bill, I found it interesting. It says, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. So they're voting aye in favor of this bill. And how many times have you heard how the speed that these bills hit the floor, and some of them are thousands of pages long. How many legislators today ever read these bills before they vote on them? Very few. Very few. I can recall there was one infamous statement some years ago about the health care bill. And it came up before our legislators. And one very prominent legislator said, let's hurry up and pass this bill so we can read it. Are you kidding me? That's what she said. Let's hurry up and pass this bill so we can read it. It was 5,000 pages long. Let's hurry up and pass it. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Verse 7, desire to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. They do not understand what they are affirming. They do not understand what they are even voting for. Who wrote that bill anyway? Who even knows who wrote it? Probably most of them do not. So, a congressman from New York, just not very many weeks ago, one of the congressmen got up and was referring to the scripture about this equality bill, so-called equality bill. And so the congressman refers to the scripture and reads from the scripture in front of the whole assembled house. And then one of these congressmen from New York got up and said this, and I quote, God's will is no concern of this Congress, end quote. You know what that's asking for? Judgment is what that's asking for. He stood up, said, God's will is of no concern of this Congress. Wow. Notice with me in Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments. Now, those are the things that our legislative branch are supposed to enact. Statutes and judgments. Even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your what?
Wisdom.
And your what? Understanding. In the sight of who? You know, if we as a nation would obey God's law, the Bible, other nations would stand back and respect us. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath what?
Statutes
and what? Judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day. You know, if we would follow God's law, you think about the money we waste when we don't follow God's word. Notice with me just real quickly in Exodus chapter 22. I know we recently referred to this, so I'll not spend a lot of time on it, but Exodus 22. So, we have all these people sitting in jail and prison because they've stolen something. Think of all the money we could save and how we would deter crime if we would follow God's law. Exodus 22:1. If a man steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore what?
Five
oxen for an ox and what?
Four
sheep for a sheep. And of course, this is if he destroys the product or sells it. You got to pay back 4 to 5 times. We talked about this. Steal gum, pay back 4 to 5 times if you open it. Steal a car and wreck it, $50,000 truck. Now you owe $200,000 to $250,000 and you don't have a truck. And it goes on and on. If you go down to verse 4, if the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. So, steal the gum, but I don't open it. The store can resell it. I got to pay twice the price of it. Don't get the gum. If I steal the truck, I don't hurt it. It can still be sold for full price. I got to pay twice. So, I pay the dealer $100,000 and I have no truck. The nations of the world, if they would watch us enact those laws, the nations of the world would stand back and say, wow, where did you ever get such wisdom? You're not having to house those thieves. They're out making restitution. They're out working off their debt now. The nations of the world would say, wow, where did you ever get that idea? Wouldn't it be wonderful to show them? The Bible. It's God's law. That's how we would be in the sight of the nations. But you know what? The sad thing is, in our legislative branch, I forget what state he's from, but that man stood up and appealed based on the Word of God how this so-called Equality Act was not right before God. And he was shut down by this congressman of New York. God's will is of no concern of this Congress. Do you think our Congress needs prayer? Yes, I think so. Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer for the House and the Senate, please, sir?
Really close to you, without walking, without weak and empty of themselves, Lord, to be able to cry out to you and to understand you and appreciate your wisdom. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in their hearts. Lord, help me to see how wretched we are without you, how hopeless and lost and confused we are without you and your dear guidance and your direction. Lord, so I pray, Lord, that you would open up their eyes, Lord, and help them to recognize of their responsibility before a holy God that controls the universe, that each one of us are going to have to give an account for what we have done here on this world, with this life that you give, Lord, that they would turn from their wicked ways, Lord, and that they would get saved, that they would have a new heart,
Amen.
A new perspective on life and responsibility, and they would have a true understanding of you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's go back to, once again, to Isaiah 33 in verse 22. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. So they made a third branch of government, the executive branch. It's the presidency. We need godly men for this job. We need like a Joseph. Look in Genesis 41. Genesis chapter 41, verse 38. We need to pray that God would raise up men like a Joseph. Genesis 41, 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom, what? The Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. That's what we need. We need to pray that God would raise up a man like Joseph or like Daniel. Look at Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. You know, both of these men had lived in great adversity. With Joseph, his own brothers hated him, sold him, and yet he remained faithful. He was tempted and tried and was faithful. And God exalted him to be right under Pharaoh. And then with Daniel, his parents must have died, or at least he was separated from his parents in the captivity and was taken into the palace of the king. And yet he remained faithful. He was not about to partake of the king's wine or the meat. He remained faithful, and God exalted him. Daniel 9:17. Daniel's praying here. He says, now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whiles I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee what? Skill and what? Understand. That is the type of man we need, don't we? We need a godly man that God has imparted skill and understanding to. Verse 23. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art what? Greatly beloved. By who? By God. Thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. We need a man of God for that position. We need a man that's greatly beloved of God. We need a man sold out to God. We need a man of integrity like Daniel, who he had so many opportunities to compromise and he did not. That's the type of man we need, a man of God that's beloved of God. It reminds me of Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Are we not supposed to be lights in this world that people might glorify our Father which is in heaven? Daniel was a man greatly beloved of God. It reminds me of the day when there will come a perfect ruler upon earth. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called what?
Wonderful.
And then what?
Counselor.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have a president of the United States, when asked a question, would be a godly counselor and could refer back to Scripture and say, this is what our country should do because this is what the Bible says. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of what? Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's the only way we are going to get such a president, if the zeal of the Lord of hosts performs it. So will we be in prayer? Will we be in prayer for the President of the United States that would be such a man? And Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer for that position, presidency?
Heavenly Father, we want to bring our president for you tonight, Father. And, just pray for him, Father, that he would come to know you.
Amen.
Father, if your word tells us how you warned the people against wanting a king,
yes.
Because you're their king.
Amen.
You're the only one with all wisdom. The people said, no, we want a man to rule over us. Well, Father, we want you
Amen.
To rule over us.
Amen.
We want you to rule in the heart
Amen.
Of our president.
Amen.
Father, we need a president that would rule this country according to thy word.
Amen.
Which in turn is letting you have your will and way.
Yes.
We need a president who will trust in you with all their heart.
Amen.
Not unto their own understanding, but in all their ways. Acknowledge you. You shall direct the path of this country.
Amen.
Father, we have it all backwards. We do call evil good
yes.
and good evil.
That's right.
You say, woe unto them that do that, and that's judgment.
Yes.
As a nation, as a country right now, we deserve your judgment.
Yes.
Father, we thank you. Just want to lift up our president to you, Father, that you give him wisdom, that, Father, you will open his eyes to the truth of your word. Father, we pray that this country would be ruled according to thy word.
Amen.
Again, Father, we pray for this entire country, how you blessed it in times past, and how you want to bless it today.
Yes.
sin just seems to rage on, and the blessings are withheld. So we pray for the people in this land that they would come to know Christ, and that they would be that new creature where old things are passed away and all things become new.
Amen.
I pray that we would live in a land that would worship you in spirit and truth. Father, be with our president. Open his eyes. Help him to see his need for the Savior before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. So, as I said, it's really easy, isn't it, just to talk about the problems, but none of us can cure the problem. Only the Lord can do that. Well, let's take our hymn books, if you would.